the players, the personalities who come from around the world to play professional soccer in the United States.
Oh!
In a word, where some call it football, or soccer, they dare to call it foosball. One thinks New York is blue, the other thinks New York is red. Soccer in America, from a German perspective. Let them put some sauerkraut on your hot dog and join them for the Schnitzel Boys USA Hour!
Yeah! That's right. That's what this is. It's the USA Hour.
Starting exactly on time. USA Hour with German efficiency. So Bjorn.
We are German. We are German after all, it turns out.
Wir
finally figured it out.
Wir sind Deutschen über alles. Okay. Alles. Alles, no, not allen.
We're not those kinds of Germans.
I said alles, not allen. Or is that wrong? I said allen. Right.
Über alles is
means over everything.
Is what the song said, yeah.
Oh, is that über allen? Is everyone?
Über alles. Deutschland über alles.
Yes. But not anymore. We got so you are a recent returnee. So this is the USA Hour, but that's a little unfair because our beloved league, our domestic league, Major League Soccer, isn't just an American league.
Yeah.
It's also a Canadian league.
And because of that, I visited Canada last week.
Would people not shut up about the Vancouver Whitecaps or something? Tell me everything.
Vancouver. You know,
it was just Vancouver Whitecaps this, Vancouver Whitecaps that.
It's funny that you... that you say that, because I was hanging out for, you know, I was in the Canadian backcountry and they were, it was with a group of seven and two people were from Vancouver. Just never asked them about the Whitecaps. just never even came up.
Here, I'll be them. Ask me about the Whitecaps. I'll be them. Hey, what do we got going on, ye?
What is that? This is not how that
tells. We're from Vancouver, We're having a good time on this traverse, see? You German boy, Schnitzkraut.
Oh, where are you from? Are you guys big Whitecaps fans?
What caps fans?
Whitecaps, the Vancouver Whitecaps, your soccer team?
My what team? I've never heard of any of that. We're Vancouver Maple Leafs fans or whatever their hockey team is called.
That's probably how it would have gone. Yeah,
we don't watch much sportsy. All right, anyway.
Yeah, and there was a person from Salt Lake City. I didn't ask her about RSL. Actually, I did make mention of watching soccer, and she was very aggressively anti-watching sports on TV general.
Good. So that's what I assume. That's what I assume. Although I would put money that someone
the outdoor types, they like to be
outdoors, I guess.
Outdoors. They don't like to watch TV.
I like to put money. I would put money on that someone from Salt Lake and someone from Vancouver. I would put money that the Salt Lake person is more into their soccer team than the Vancouver person is.
Not this one.
Yeah, just in general. But you know what's funny about that? Not funny about the outdoor sports. Just a little pet peeve from a fat guy here. Something between my dad and something from growing up with when you talk to Americans where soccer is popular. They're like, no, I don't watch it, but I played it. And they love talking about how much they play it. My dad is like, I used to play it. I played it. And can I just do a little PSA? No one gives a shit about you playing things. I watch soccer because the best athletes in the universe are doing it in their prime.
These people are good.
Because they're very good at it. Like, Neymar is very good at it. Messi's very good at it.
We don't care about you.
Like no one gives... Like I love skiing and all, and I wish you the best. But it's like, if I watch skiing on TV, I'm not watching some random person ski. I'm watching an Olympic level... You know what I'm saying? So growing up, the Americans like, I used to play it in high school. It's like, great. You were probably really, really, really bad at it. I don't know. Like, good for you to get out of the house and sweat a bit. That's great. I wish you the best.
You know, this.
But my interest ends. There's no overlap of interest. I don't care how good you were.
You understand, though, this person is trying to make a connection with
true.
You. This person is trying to say something to connect with what you're saying. To be like, well, I can't fully meet you where you're at because I don't have... the same enthusiasm, but I do I do have a connection.
True.
And you're just shutting that. You're just being there. Fuck off. I don't care.
I don't say that out loud. It's just I keep it to myself. In reality, I'm like, oh, wow, that's great. Well, that's cool. However, what I will argue is that with my dad, that's not it. My dad, we watch a soccer, but to me, he's like, but you need to play soccer. He just cares about my weight is all. So he always backdoors me. He asked a question randomly. Last time I visited, he asked a question about why, about youth development or something. And, you know, this is a topic I'm very curious, very passionate about. So I start talking. And it turns out he didn't care about youth development. He was just backdooring it in a way to see how I can get off my ass out of the house and start playing.
So he is the opposite. His agenda,
he's the opposite.
His agenda is not to connect with you. His agenda
disconnect,
is to shame
disconnect.
You.
Yes, to shame me. To shame me and disconnect with me.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing soccer. You're doing the soccer wrong.
You're doing
you should be running around. You should be running around.
Right.
If it's not physically strenuous, then it does you no good.
12 Fatayan wants you out of the house, okay? It needs to, because be useful. I'm watching this, you know what we're doing in German class right now? We're doing sports. And it's funny how, you know more about this than me. The German, essentially, culture mentality, it's like, if you got nothing to do, don't think. Don't fill your brain with thinking. Get out of the house and just run, would you? Like, just do us all a favor.
Yeah,
run. Lift something, be useful, and turn yourself into something aesthetically pleasing for us. That's
stronger,
all we want from you.
Stronger people are harder to kill and generally more useful. Yeah.
Yeah, and my dad is still of that, like, indoctrination.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that. I rebelled. As a youth, I rebelled against this, and I was a very sort of
put the book down. Don't worry about
wannabe intellectual. Yeah, I was a very wannabe intellectual kind of smarty pants, but now I'm just trying to be a meathead.
Yeah, Goethe talks about nonsense, okay? Get out of the house and run a couple laps. Fill your little brain with nothing. You know what I mean? Anyway.
I don't think it's bad advice. I don't think it's bad advice. I also will, sort of from the opposite end of this perspective, I will say, you know, I did this, you know, fairly strenuous backcountry experience, and sometimes people, when I talk about it, people do get offended, and it's not like I'm trying to, not like I'm bragging about it, or I even think that anybody else should do it or whatever, but sometimes just the mention of it, people are like, why would you, and they then sort of feel the need to kind of question my motives. I'm like, okay,
you know what phrase I hate, but people use, and sometimes they think it's not offensive, but the phrase good for you.
Oh, good for you.
I hear that a lot.
Well, no, it's definitely.
That never comes off as a good thing. It always comes off as kind of negative, right?
There's usually a little hostility.
Oh, good
there,
for you.
Probably. Oh, yeah, good for you.
In your little universe, we don't know if what you're doing is a good choice, but you think it's a good choice, and that's cute. Me. So good for you.
I mean, I'm very live and let. Everybody should do whatever they want.
Well, you're doing the traverse. You know what my goal is? I'm going to drive to Amarillo, Texas, and I'm going to defeat the 72-ounce Texan Roadhouse Steak Challenge. It's a 72-ounce steak. It's a plate of salad. It's toast. It's a baked potato. And I think I have to finish all of it under an hour or else I have to pay for it, and I get a free T-shirt. So that's what I'm building myself up towards, guys. Wish me luck. Wish me luck. There's
Are
a steak challenge here in LA. There's a steak challenge here 2 hours from here. I mean, I clearly have Googled it, so I'm semi-serious. There's a steak challenge 2 hours from here. It's 35-ounce steak, but it's you only get a free T-shirt. You still have to pay for the steak. So I'll do that first, and I'll work my way up. Work my way up. No, I'm only being semi-serious. I always thought I was joking, but in the back of my mind,
opposite.
I wanted
it's the
to.
Opposite of, it's the opposite of what I'm doing.
True, true. And I take pride in it. And honestly, I think I want to do it one of these days. On YouTube, you can see a really petite woman do it in under 4 minutes.
Wow.
Is that insane? And then you see another petite woman do it in 45 minutes. And it's hilarious seeing all these tiny women eat just large amounts of food. There's a lady who travels the world and does these challenges.
They're probably used to...
They're pros.
They're probably used to throwing up after.
Yeah, or they're pros. Professional food eaters tend to be smaller people. But her next challenge after the Texas Steak Challenge is she went to some place in Germany and ate like a 5 or a 50-pound hamburger. I don't know how big it was. Maybe not 50 pounds, but it was pretty big. It was 5-pound hamburger.
Or 50 pounds. Nobody can eat a 50-pound hamburger. That's not possible.
Well, but she ate, and she crunched
it. Not in one day.
Well, the challenge is you have to do it under an hour. Anyway, I digress. We have a lot of challenges. Before I want to get an MLS, when you're in Canada, how much of the USA, Mexico, CONCACAF, because Canada's part of CONCACAF, how much of the Kings of CONCACAF talk are they talking about?
I was saying, no, nobody talked about it. I talked very little soccer on this trip. There was a lot of, well, it's like, yeah.
I'm being facetious, I know.
I know, nobody, but what's funny is that I watched a soccer game on either of my two airport shuttle trips. On the way to, from Calgary, I flew into Calgary, and then I basically the trip started and ended in Canmore. And the shuttle to and from there, on the way to Canmore, I was watching the USA play Mexico, and on the way back, I watched NYCFC play Inter Miami. And somebody actually asked me about it on the shuttle. They were like, "What are you watching? Who are you supporting?"
Oh, you watched the USA-Mexico game. I didn't know that.
I did, yeah. It was a little bit, that reception was a little more in and out. I didn't watch as much of it, but the Inter-Miami game I watched in, yeah, I mean, it was
men versus boys. I mean, Mexico had
nothing to offer. Why people hate Greg Berhalter so much, but
well, Bjorn, did you watch the USA Jamaica game?
I did watch. Yeah, I did watch a little bit of that, and
that's
that
why
wasn't...
people hate Greg Berhalter. They don't hate him because he's good against Mexico. Greg Berhalter's tenure as U.S. Men's National Team coach has been this: we destroy Mexico. Mexico, we know. All other big teams, we lose against them. We don't know. All small teams, we win, but barely. We can barely break down their low block, so we inchworm past the small teams.
What about that?
And there
tie
you go. That's
England.
Greg.
What about the tie against England at the World Cup?
It's a tie. Yeah, it's a World Cup game. It's a tie. It was good. That's but Wales was disappointing. We should have beaten Wales. We tied Wales, disappointing. We tied England, thumbs up, but a passive game. And then we just beat Iran. Fine. That's like. That goes back to us just beating Jamaica.
But, okay.
And then we get outclassed by Holland. No, I'm not going to... Our game against England was good. That's like a... That was good. And yes, we've turned ourselves in this team that holds the ball a little more true. But what I'm saying... But the big criticism is that, like, it seems like the players play like they're solving calculus. And you see that against Jamaica. But then when they play Mexico, and they'll just be individuals, and they'll just go out there and play... They played with such swagger. They're so confident. He. I'm going to give a lot of credit to Greg on this. I think he found a good home for Gio Reyna on the field. Gio Reyna played deeper, mm-hmm. and he came in on the left with Pulisic and tag-teamed. I've been waiting to seeing that for years. It's not just Pulisic hero ball. Reyna's there to support his hero ball, and they're tag-teaming, and it's working. And then sometimes Reyna goes to the right to help tag-team with McKennie. And it's like yes, I think we found... Reyna's allowed to be that variable that can go kind of left or right because the dude's a spark plug. The dude's talented. We need him on the field. He doesn't belong on our bench.
He won best player of the tournament.
Best player of the tournament.
Best player in CONCACAF. Can't get on the field. I was joking in my other group chat about this. It's like Nuno Espirito Santo that does not watch this game. But is he at least on Twitter? Does he at least get a tweet of Gio... Because he can't get on the field. He's not even starting. He's not coming off the bench either. He got asked about it.
You saw the question. He got asked about it, right?
Which I predicted. May I just say that?
What did you predict?
I predicted that that was not a good move. He was not going to increase his minutes.
True. So I looked it up, by the way. Two things. Nuno was asked about it. He's like, Gio Reyna was on the bench. He's like, yeah, great. Does that mean more minutes? He's like, everybody's getting minutes. He was not committed. He was not offering it. But he did get 30 minutes, so clearly it did work. And Gio played well. Gio was a key figure of them finally getting a point. So in the past 10 to 12 games that Gio was on the books at Nottingham Forest, I think, lost every game. Like, they've lost all of them. I think they have maybe one tie... and one win, and 9 losses under Nuno while Gio Reyna's been on the books.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I mean, why isn't he playing? Yeah, you need to change it up. It is true. I looked it up. It's like the coach is an idiot then. Right? Change it up, right? You're losing week in and week out. Play other players. He finally played Gio last night, and they get their first point in like 9 weeks. Hopefully this means Gio will get some minutes throughout the end of the season. Let's hope. Knock on wood.
Maybe his mom finally found some material from their vacation in Portugal from 20 years ago.
Perhaps. I believe Claudio Reyna is part Portuguese, I want to say. And maybe they got some family blood there. Who knows? But USA, Undisputed Kings of CONCACAF. They did the three-peat against Mexico.
If you feel bad, if the U.S. feels bad about their situation, Mexico, they must be despondent.
I did a very long video on my TikTok, Stefan the Sock Guy, today, thinking about Mexico. Now, here's a quiz for you, Bjorn.
Yes, please.
What started the decline of the Mexican national team? What did they suspend that led to them, their decline?
Oh, promotion and relegation? This is the theory?
That's one of them. The big theory is the Mexican soccer system in general holds them back. And part of my video today is Mexico is such an enigma. Because let's look at Germany, Deutschland, right? We know Deutschland well, like Mexico well. Mexico has these large institutional clubs that are 100 years old, that with huge youth academies, with dorms and fields, and they scout everywhere. They're here in California scouting Mexican-American kids left and right, all over the world. And you know, these are old pros running these academies. So a club like Club America or Chivas de Guadalajara, like, they have the infrastructure to create talent just like a Bundesliga club will, you know. Like, Club America probably has a much larger infrastructure than Bochum to create players, right? They have a very extensive youth academy. They've got a youth team, second team. They have an 100,000-seater stadium week in, week out. It's like a big deal to come through the system. But for whatever reason, they can't create players who can duke it in Europe enough, at least not anymore. That's A. Or B, they're just not trying. They're not selling their 18-year-olds. The biggest deal with Mexico is they have their own infrastructure. They have their own economy. So the last step is, like, when you're 18, you're valuable to us and only us. So the clubs will buy you for $10 million. And the 10 to 20 owners that own the league are just engineering all this anyway. Right. And they just have this huge fish, small pond, interior economy going on that's not applicable to anyone else. So cut to the final last Sunday. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing a Mexican national team made up almost entirely of domestic-based players in a league that suspended relegation. So a little bit of the pressure's off of them. In a league that refuses to sell them anywhere else to prove their worth. So there you go. That's
this is the old everybody's got to go to Europe theory.
I mean, yeah. Our team. What's the difference between the U.S. national team and the Mexican team on that final?
The U.S. team are all bench players in Europe.
They're not bench players. Some are. Some
most
are not.
Most of them are.
I think it's half-half. Some of that's half-half.
Okay. I'll give you that. I don't know.
I looked at it. It's like half-half. And, yeah, there were some injuries. You know, Tyler Adams is a week-in, week-out player who's just coming off an injury. Gio's on the bench, but Pulley's week-in, week-out. McKennie's week-in, week-out. Musa and Timo Weah are rotation guys. Well, but Yunus Musa has been playing a lot. Yunus Musa. Timo Weah maybe a little less.
But he's not a... Well, let's see. So we have...
And then Haji Wright's week in, week out with Coventry.
I guess Chris Richards is getting to be...
Chris Richards has played every minute. Starter. Yeah. More than that, he's played every minute of Crystal Palace last four months.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... Yeah, I guess...
Sergino Dest is week in, week out with PSV. Tim Ream did... Jedi Robinson's week in, week out with Fulham. I think Tim Ream forever lost
his
spot.
The Fulham guys are.
I had this realization, funny you brought it up, because we've talked about this before where these guys are rotation guys. We're finally seeing a lot of these guys become more than rotation guys. I've noticed. Other than a handful, most of these guys are now weekend guys.
This also is...
And it shows.
It's in keeping with their age, sort of. You know, right. It's like part of the development. And which I think Greg doesn't get enough credit for leading all those young guys through that. You know, I mean, I think he has been good about that and helping their development. These very young players. I don't think they are world beaters. I think this narrative of this is the greatest generation and Triple G is holding them back and they would be win the World Cup if only they had a proper coach, I think it's nonsense. I think this is a pretty, I mean, they're better than Mexico for sure.
Yeah.
Even
where Mexico's big star player, Chucky Lozano, plays for PSV. We have three players on PSV. Two of them can't get into our starting 11 because Juventus and Milan players are taking their spot. So we're just in a much better spot than Mexico. And it's created this awakening where Mexico's like, we need that. And I've seen it before. This happened in the early aughts, same thing. Nery Castillo, famously, he was playing for Sparta Praha in Greece. He's just like, you need to get to Europe somehow. They're just more professional here. And then we've heard other players, I forgot who, a former coach or player or even Chucky Lozano, being like, when you go to Europe, the clubs are just more professional. You know, it's just there is a lack of professionalism in the Mexican game that is hurting us. Stuff like that. So they're having a little bit of an inquest. Yeah. We'll see if the owners can get out of their own way and they can start setting some of these guys up for success up in Europe.
And I think, MLS has caught up to, I mean, the top end of, when we're going to see tomorrow, Columbus playing Tigres tomorrow.
Oh, that's in the CONCACAF Championship.
Yeah, so that's a big one. That's a juicy game.
It is, because Columbus is looking good. Columbus is looking good.
However you feel about, probably, you know, like we keep saying, the top Mexican clubs are probably still better than top MLS, but certainly the gap has narrowed significantly over the last 10 years, like significantly. The days where Mexican teams would play their B teams against MLS sides in the Champions League are over, and that also has an impact. Yeah. But that's what was interesting is that the U.S. were expected to win this game, and they did, and congratulations. Somebody was saying how Greg Berhalter has won four trophies, which is more than Bob Bradley and Bruce Arena and...
Klinsmann combined.
And Klinsmann combined.
Or something like that.
But then, it's a little unfair. Somebody was responding to that on Twitter saying that three of those four trophies were in a competition that didn't exist then.
It's unfair.
When those guys were coaches. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't think Greg's the greatest coach in the history of soccer. I think he's fine. I think he's fine, and he's done a good job.
I think the Mexico game quieted it down, and the big thing was Tyler Adams wanted to shut everybody up. That was sort of the big thing. Because afterwards, the lovely Kate Abdo asked Tyler Adams, how do you feel about all this Greg out sentiment on thing? And Tyler Adams was like, listen, we love him. He's good, like you said. He helps us with our development. We can reach him. We love him as a group. I know I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but pretty much he's like, we're here for him. So if you're rooting against him, you're rooting against us.
They have shown up for him consistently. Right. They've played hard in the big games, and he shouldn't have started Ferreira against Holland.
Yeah, I mean, he shouldn't have. There's like a few things. However, it seemed, but you know what is an interesting theory, and Copa America will be a great litmus test. Our biggest struggle is playing small teams. It's weird. But when we play big teams, it's not that big of a deal. Like, we can handle the bigger teams.
A lot of teams struggle with that. That's a universal problem. If you look at the England, you know.
So I'm looking forward to
this idea. It's just also not a soccer thing. This idea that you should just blow everybody away. Sometimes it's hard. Anyway.
Yeah, but Jamaica.
But yeah, Copa America.
Jamaica was blind luck. We shouldn't have even been in that final. It was blind. Corey Burke, New York Red Bulls. Booking me a solid.
That is true.
And in the last second, headed it into his own goal for us so we can go beat them in overtime. And it's like, if that didn't happen, then this would be a totally different conversation.
Yeah, well, except
totally different conversation. Exactly. In soccer, it happens like that sometimes.
Giorena is the king of CONCACAF.
Well, Haji Wright's the king of CONCACAF. FA Cup star kept going because he scored both the overtime goals. But like in with Gio assisting both of them. But like when teams open up and play us one on one, that's when we excel. But when they close up and hold back, we just can't break them down. That's our thing. And that's why I'm looking forward to Copa, because we're playing against Uruguay and Bolivia. I don't think they're going to do a low block against. I think it's going to be a pretty open game. And those games are going to be fun. And that's where you get to see the U.S. play with a little swagger. You know, and if we play against Argentina or Brazil, I'm very curious what that looks like. The last time we played against Argentina under the Klinsmann era, it was a 4-0 blowout. Like, it was 2016. Young Christian Pulisic, Messi were still on the team 8 years ago. And Argentina beat us 4-0, and it was like, we have no plans, no ideas. They're just going to beat the crap out of us.
But you can still, even today, you can still get blown out against Argentina, and it can still be fine. Like, that does not mean that the house is on fire.
True, but I don't think that's going to happen.
There's still a big gap.
I don't think that's going to happen,
though. Between those teams.
I'm not saying Argentina's going to lose, but I think it'll be like a 1-0 or 2-1, a back-and-forth type game. Let's hope. But I'm excited. I have a ticket for the Brazil game. I'm going to try to go to the USA game if they make the round of 16 this summer. I'm going to try to be involved.
Amazing.
And I think with the Euros and the Copa, I'm excited. We got some summer tournaments happening again. There's no COVID. It's not a winter tournament in the Middle East. It's the old school summer tournaments again. And USA is a big one. That's a treat, right? USA versus Argentina versus Brazil versus Uruguay versus Chile. How's Mexico going to do this summer? I don't know. I don't know, man. We'll see. You go.
That is exciting.
There you go. So USA.
Are you excited? If we're gonna transition here, are you excited for the derby tomorrow?
So excited that you have to remind me what the derby is. You have to remind me what the derby is. But I'm so excited about whatever derby.
Red Bulls 2 against NYCFC 2 in the Open Cup.
Your kids versus our kids in the Open Cup. Well, good on the Open Cup. Am I excited about it? No.
You didn't even know it was happening.
No.
I might go. It's in Queens. I might go. I did not make it. I bought tickets to the first round game in Montclair. I was gonna go, but I had too much work to do before my trip, so I didn't make it out there. But the NYCFC kids did very well against FC Motown. They really comprehensively beat them. And so
the big story was that taco stand that beat the professional team or whatever. That's the story. There was a burrito stand that had a soccer, like an amateur soccer team, and they beat, who'd they beat? They beat someone. They beat like Orlando City.
I didn't hear that.
Someone.
Vermont Green, my other new favorite team, also amateurs. They beat their professional opposition.
Bernie Sanders' favorite team. He either shouted at them on the Twitter or whatever.
Oh yeah, that's very good. They have very cool shirts. People seem to show up there. They play in Burlington someplace. They had a sellout. I gotta go check them out.
Trying to find this.
Open Cup was fun. What I saw on TV was very fun. I don't know if I'm making out to Queens tomorrow for the derby, but I might try.
Well, if you do, let me know how my youngsters are doing. Here we go. Interview. This is from last week. An interview with manager of the El Farolito SC, San Francisco's burrito-funded U.S. Open Cup heroes. They knocked out Timbers 2. This burrito stand beat Timbers Youth Academy. So good for the burrito
Amazing.
Stand. And that's what U.S. Open Cup is all about. But yeah, if you go, let me know how it is. I'm curious how my youngsters are doing.
I will let you go. I will let you know. We also have some very juicy, like I mentioned before, CONCACAF Champions Cup matchups. We have Columbus against Tigres. We have New England against Club America.
That's not juicy.
Well, because New England is so bad, but it would be juicy otherwise.
Yeah.
And we have my Inter Miami against Monterrey.
I like that.
With Messi still day to day. We don't know if he's going to play.
I like that one, yeah. New England Club America will be interesting because, I don't know, because New England's dumpster fire, which is the flaw of this. Whenever it's time for a clubs to play in the continental competitions, they earn the spot in. They're a totally different team with different coaches and players. So
Caleb Porter is struggling. Who would have predicted? Oh, I did.
Well, they should have never have gotten rid of Bruce Arena for reasons. For reasons we'll never know
in detail.
What an implosion! I can't think of any other. I can't think of any other precedents to that, where it's like a coach goes missing, and you have to find out why, and it's to this day no one really knows why.
Nobody will tell us.
But the players really wanted him there, and they don't know why either. And then they were the best team in the league, not the worst team in the league, because what a weird implosion that is. Kai Kamara found himself a new home. He's an LAFC man now. Yeah. When Kai Kamara retires, he's going to be the ultimate neutral color commentator because he's played for everybody.
He'll know the name of every
fan group,
every security guard.
He's been around. The other big U.S. Open Cup news is that team that Sasha Kljestan volunteered on won, and rumors are other guys are hopping on the train.
Oh, Bradley Wright Phillips is going to come?
Perhaps. There's rumors that other guys are going to hop on this train of theirs.
The Open Cup's a good time. I had a great time. That Vermont Green game was incredible. It was really exciting. There's a lot of back and forth. They had a big lead and almost gave it away, but hung on.
Who'd they play against?
They played against, I knew you were going to ask me that. Hold on. But they were a pro team. Vermont Green is not. They're all college kids.
USL League Two.
So they were quipping on the commentary how the international break doesn't bother them. They had problems with spring break because all the
college kids.
All the college kids were on vacation because their season doesn't start until a couple months from now. So this was, they all just came off the beach basically to play this game and had a really cool, very counterattacking, a run and gun style. They won 4 against Lexington SC.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
Lexington SC, which is a legit pro team, but I guess they had some injuries. I mean, this wasn't a total shock. But
you know what I should do? Bjorn, you know what Central and Southern California have a plethora of? Professional soccer teams. Jermaine Jones coaches one. He coaches the Central Valley Fuego. Yeah.
How was that going? He fired everybody.
Did he?
Apparently. He got rid of the whole team.
But I think there's literally 3 or 4 non-MLS professional men's teams. I also go to the San Diego Wave, and there's a lot of women's teams around.
Oh, there's...
I go to Orange County.
There's Orange County. Yeah, Orange County. I saw Orange County play at the Tampa Bay Rowdies a couple years ago when I was in Tampa.
I've been.
And there were a couple of ex NYCFC players. Tony Rocha was and Sean Ugo Okoli was playing on that team, and I had my NYCFC hat on, and we were. We didn't hug, but I got a fist bump from both of them.
I've been to one of their games. It's a lot of fun. They have a cool little stadium and a public park. And then the Central Valley Fuego, and I think there's there's Fresno something. Maybe it's the Fresno Fuego. Yeah. There's like a handful. Not to mention SAC FC and stuff like that. There's like a good soccer scene.
It's cool stuff. I mean, this is, also what I always say. If you want promotion and relegation in this country, don't spend your time attacking MLS. Spend your time supporting
USL.
the lower leagues, the lower league system. That's where it's going to come from.
MLS is attacking them enough. I mean, the San Diego Loyal SC announced their end of operations right after MLS announced that San Diego is going to be an expansion team. MLS is doing enough attacking. Anyway. So MLS is back, although it played last weekend too. It never left, technically. The New York Rebels.
MLS is back. MLS is still, New York Rebels, still there.
New York Rebels destroyed Inter Miami last weekend in pouring rain.
I saw that game. That was impressive. Luis Morgan and
Hat-trick.
And Van Zier are developing some chemistry. Van Zier can't finish, but he can assist.
He can assist, yeah. 4-0, and then this weekend the New York Rebels went down to Florida and played the Orlando City team. Played Orlando City, Orlando City SC.
The Orlando City
team. Formerly the Lions. I don't think they're called the Lions anymore.
I think they're still called the Lions.
But it's a nickname. It's not in the crest.
It's like where it's like the Pigeons.
Right. But when they were a USL team, I think they were called the Orlando City Lions.
Oh, the Orlando Lions? All right.
I think. Anyway. Like you said, it was a different feeling 1-1. There's a few news stories here. We got ourselves a pretty good penalty, even penalty shout in the 70th minute. And then in the 89th minute, they got themselves an equalizer. It deflated the game. But, you know, it's a road point. What you going to do? We got our road point without Emil Forsberg, who was out of the team. I don't know if it's due to injury or if it's due to him coming back from Europe, because he did play for Sweden over the break.
Or if he has some family issues to sort out.
Or if it's the big rumor mill, hot rumor mill going on. Is that apparently...
I mean, it's more than a rumor. It's more than a rumor. There is an Instagram post, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, but isn't that just a rumor? Emil Forsberg's wife shared on Instagram that he's like, it seems like Emil Forsberg is having a good time in New York. He didn't tell us he was going. He just went to New York without us.
That's just the... I mean, that's being a league of choice, right? Right there.
Right, Doug Garber.
I'm choosing MLS over my family. You cannot resist the call.
When Emil Forsberg says it's a great place for a new start, people didn't realize what he was talking about.
He meant every aspect of his life.
He has two kids, I think. He has a wife and two kids. And not only did he leave them, he didn't tell them where he was going. They have to hear all about this in the press, about how great of time he's having in New York. So I didn't know that, by the way.
That can't be entirely.
That's what I'm saying. I've heard elsewhere since that they've talked about it. She knows.
Somebody had to also.
She knew ahead of time. She's just pulling a technique.
She must have the internet. Is she not subscribed to the internet?
No, it's more than that. I think they had the conversation.
None of her friends was like, hey, there's a lot of rumors about Emil going to New Jersey. No.
And again, it wasn't that either.
This is not what happened.
No, they had a conversation about it. She knows very well she went to New York. I've heard sources about that as well. This is just a technique she's doing. The whole, like, we didn't tell us. Like, they talked about it, that she knew months in advance.
But she wasn't into it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how Swedish divorce court works.
So so you're saying this is a strategy to extract more.
That's what I'm saying. I've heard, that's why it's a rumor. I've heard that, like, of course she knew, like you said. She's got the press. We've been hearing about it for months. He's been linked to New York months ago.
Well, anyway, so. it's just. I mean, that must make you proud, right? As a Red Bulls fan, that the lure of the team is so strong. That
yeah, it's the opposite of Emmanuel Reynoso, I guess.
I can't wait to get there.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I need to get rid of my family. And can we start earlier? Versus Emmanuel Reynoso is like, I want to stay home. I really don't want to. I'll play for Minnesota United, but I want to live in Argentina while I'm doing it.
I'll take the money, but like, you can do the first couple months without me. Emil is like, preseason has never been more important to me.
Yeah, he showed up right away. That is pretty. So now we know. So in MLS, so something else MLS could be a league of choice for. It's a great way to run away from the fam. Put a pod.
If you're looking for a fresh start, it doesn't have to be just soccer wise.
Leipzig to London is a cheap weekend flight, but New York City, no, that's an ocean away. So
it's a lot of jet lag to deal with.
But my New York Red Bulls are still doing okay. The Columbus game is the only game that was severely outclassed. Other than that, they've been really strong all season long. Sandro Schwartz is in it to win it. He's getting it. The players are playing.
I wish I could say the same thing. Today's April 1st. We have not made any. I don't know. I'm not into April Fool's jokes or pranks personally. I don't know. My dad, maybe I was scarred as a child. My dad made some cruel April Fool's jokes on me as a child. Like when he would like pretend that something really wonderful happened to me and then was like, ha ha ha, April Fool's, which,
right.
That's not nice.
My dad would anyway, do that to me too. My dad did that to me too.
On Twitter, there was a lot of Cushing fired content today. And I think it was, I mean, it was definitely was all just April Fool's. There was no indication that he's leaving. But yeah, despite our pre- pretty decent performance in this 1-1 draw against Inter Miami and against Messi-less Inter Miami. I didn't even know, you know, like I said, I was coming out of the mountains and I had not kept up with recent news. So I assumed that the referee in this game was still a scab, that it's, that the referees were still, but he was not. He was bad. This guy was bad. Afterwards, I was like, are they still striking? What happened? I thought they may have had a deal. And it's like, no, no, they were back. He was not. He was one of the regulars.
These are
like,
the real refs. They're back, baby.
This guy was not good. He was like, seemed to be.
I'm shocked.
A passionate fan of Luis Suarez, and he seemed to have made it his business to protect him, to protect his aging body at all costs. He called any kind of contact. He called a couple of fouls that weren't fouls. And I think, I mean, you know,
you keep vamping Jimmy a says, bit. I haven't seen any of these. I want to see these.
I think the first girl goes a foul. I think he's pushing Jimmy Sands. Now, does Jimmy Sands need to be a little stronger there? Maybe you could argue, but like, I don't think it's if Jimmy Sands does that to Suarez, it's a penalty, not a question. Mm. And so, I thought that was a little bit of a poor decision.
I'm a little out of the loop. Is this a penalty? What are we? I didn't see any.
No, I don't know if it's a corner kick or free kick. It's a set piece. Set piece into the box. And basically Suarez pushes Sands to the ground and heads it in.
Okay. I'm looking at it right now.
Sands is marking him.
I see someone push the ground, but that's not Luis Suarez. So it's a different thing.
What?
Let's see here. Looking at it now, Dana Ruiz almost got one. Cut forward. Okay, this is the free kick. I'm looking at the free kick. Luis Suarez holds the guy and pulls him down. That's what you're saying. That should have been a foul?
I think so.
Let me look at the close-up. If they got a close-up, probably not. I just saw it. Did they show a close-up?
I don't remember.
He's celebrating.
Now we get close-ups again. Fall. Now that the regular refs are back.
There's no close-up here. Let's do this one more time. Show me a close-up. Oh, here we go. Okay, let me vamp for a second. I'm just going to watch this.
Okay. Well, anyway, that was, you know, obviously a borderline call. I'm not saying VAR. I didn't think VAR would intervene, but I think that ref was very pro-Suarez to the point where Suarez tried to sell some pretty dubious penalty kicks later, and I was worried because I was like, this is no telling what this guy might call.
I think it was a foul because they're up against each other, and my philosophy is when you extend the arms, when arms extend off your body, that's a foul, right? And that's you see push. Him pushing him off and then going and heading the ball. You see an arm extension. So it should have been called. Yeah, it's a bad call. But are you telling me that the return of the regular refs means that all bad calls aren't going to be eliminated?
Well, I mean, we knew that wasn't the case. I mean, you know, anyway, whatever.
You know what I missed last week that we probably should have watched was the Charlotte-Cincinnati game or whatever, or the Charlotte game.
Oh, because where things were just really crazy.
Apparently there was like five of the worst calls in MLS history in a row or something. And I didn't. So it's not as bad
as
that.
There was a lot of that. No, it was just funny because I was out of the loop and I was like, oh, we still have these terrible scabs. And then after the game found out, oh, no.
No, those are our refs. Those are our refs.
Still regular guy. Still didn't see. It was
a bad call. Protecting the DPs.
Didn't feel like it was so much better for us anyway.
MLS refs protecting DPs is nothing new. I'm sure.
It's nothing new.
I'm sure there's an email somewhere. I'm sure there's a policy on it somewhere.
For sure. So, and we don't deserve any close calls anyway because we are still, I mean, we saw finally our Costa Rican acquisition, Alfonso Martinez, who has played very little, got a start and scored a goal and looked like a proper winger, had some swagger. So that was positive. But then I thought we had that team on the ropes. There were a couple of good chances. Munsif Bakra shanked a pretty open shot into the stands. And I thought
bad?
we
was
were...
It, Was it as bad as the Elias Manuel tweet that went viral
from our account? It wasn't. Not like that. But like, but it was still pretty. It was. I mean, he had somebody in his face, and it was a volley. It's not like. But I mean, one of these days, it'd be nice if he made one of those. So.
At least your guys are on target. Elias, so real quick, I thought I was done with Red Bulls. Elias Manuel, you know, I criticized him for not being able to hit the broadside of a barn. He proves it week in and week out. He gets the ball one-on-one with the keeper. He beats the keeper, but he misses the whole goal again, like always. He doesn't know. It just rolls off past the goal. And it's like, for crying out loud, you're a $500,000 a year number nine. You need to hit the goal, man. You should be on target.
Hit it in the goal.
In the goal. I tweeted it, and it got retweeted a few times. And I think people, a lot of Red Bulls fans especially, very much shared my frustration in that moment. And Elias Manuel, it's season three for you right now. The clock is ticking, all right? You're a project that's about to finish, if you ask me.
We're not there yet with Bakrar. He has been good at times, but not this season yet. And but then you know, we have this Cushing ball thing again, where we make all these defensive subs, and we're just hanging on. We're just hanging on to a 1-1 draw, and we could have our goalie Matt Fries made MLS Team of the Week.
I heard for having a very, very good game,
and if not for him, we could have easily lost this.
This all sounds really depressing. Like, the sign of a bad team is when your goalkeeper gets team.
When you're still not winning games.
That's a bad sign.
I keep saying that. It's like in the inaugural season when Josh Saunders, journeyman keeper, was everybody's favorite player in New York because he was facing like 30 shots a game and like made a lot of saves.
Right.
And yeah.
But that reminds me of Jose Mourinho when David De Gea was like Man United's best player pretty much. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's bad that David De Gea is our best player. It's only a good sign if you don't talk about him anymore. That's what we want.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway.
I agree with you 100%. There is still not a lot of offensive fluidity. I mean, I believe in the players. Yeah, but it's not looking good yet. But
there's some really good NYCFC news for me. Did you know that?
What is it?
Tati Castellanos has announced that he is an American citizen now. He got his American citizenship, and rumors are that he would like to switch to play for the U.S. men's national team.
What?
Yep. You didn't see that?
How have I not heard this?
I don't know. You're in the mountains.
I've been in the mountains. Wow, that is big news. He barely speaks English.
I know. I don't get it. Like, he should be of a quality to maybe be included in the Argentinian setup these days, right? Ish.
He had a little bit of an under 21. I mean, that was his goal. He wanted to make the Argentinian team. That's why he wanted to go to Europe, and I think this was pre-Qatar. He was hoping to make the squad, which obviously was not close.
He's an American citizen now. Maybe he'll be in the U.S. Now, I have mixed feelings about it. However, he's a talented number nine, and I'll take him. I mean, if he wants to play for us, I'll take him, right? Why not? Scored four goals against Real Madrid. You know, who else has scored four goals?
I mean, he's a scrappy. He is... I mean, his best quality is just his intensity. He's like a pressing... He's a pressing machine from the top, and that really sets a tone for a team, so that's useful.
If he wants to be our number nine, then he'll be American as apple pie.
He's got some useful, but this is really surprising. This is not something that I would have
we'll get him a language tutor. He'll learn. He's not the only person on the national team that doesn't speak English. People have not spoken on English on that team for years.
No, that's fine. It's just,
Julian Green can't speak a word of English. If he scored our equalizer against Belgium.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's, I guess, to be continued. We'll see what happens there. That's crazy. I had no idea.
So tell me about NYCFC. What's next? Who are you guys up?
We're playing Atlanta at home on Saturday, City Field home opener, our other home opener.
Is it just a matter of time before Cushing gets sacked, or what's going on? Or do you feel the turnaround is just around the corner? What are we talking about?
I don't feel the turnaround is around the corner. I mean, this has been pretty consistent. I mean, it's a lot of new people. It's not like the team's not trying. It's not like they're not going hard. I think the setup is fine. I mean, there's just a lack of, I think it's also a lack of confidence. There's a lot of hero balling, you know, Santi Rodriguez keeps trying to dribble through several people, but there's also a lot of positives. Hannes Wolf is looking good. We have some depth. We have some other new guys that are, I mean, do I think Nick's going to turn this around? No, I don't think so. I think we're going to change coaches at some point.
I think you're stringing along till the summertime. Perhaps. But we have a Champions Cup, MLS. What was it? Oh, as far as other MLS news, Real Salt Lake had a great game against St. Louis. Their Chicho Arango, I think, is doing well. Here in LA, LA Galaxy is doing great, and LAFC is struggling. They flipped positions this year. That's where the big talk here in LA. I almost went to the LA Seattle game, but it was raining, and I didn't want to go. It's been raining a lot here in LA lately. Mm. I just didn't want to go, but I'm going to try to make it out to either an LAFC game or an LA Galaxy game soon. Springtime, the weather's lovely out here, despite the rain. And it's looking like LA Galaxy is going to win the LA... I think their game is next week.
LA Derby?
Their game's next week, I think. The American Super Classico, or the El Trafico, whatever you want to call it, whatever they engineered to call it, is Saturday, April 6th. So next Saturday, LAFC is hosting the Galaxy. Maybe I'll try to make it. We'll see. Those tend to be quite cost prohibitive. But Joseph Pantseal and the LA Galaxy gang are on fire. And Stevie G and the LAFC, they lost at Colorado 3-2, you know, with a great Mihailovic free kick. I'm sure you saw that. That was one of the big highlights of the weekend.
Yeah.
And, there you go. We'll see. MLS is still in the nascent stages. I would say, as far as the strongest team in the league, you got to say the defending champs, Columbus Crew, are pretty dang strong. LA Galaxy, you got your eyes on the LA Galaxy right now, a few weeks in. And let me look at the standings here. Cincy's on top of the East, so never discount Cincy. Inter Miami, second place, doing their thing. New York Red Bulls right there. Despite Toronto having a bad game over the weekend, they're picking up some points. Philly is not in the shape they probably want to be in. Vancouver is second place in the West. That's something to keep an eye on. Good for Vancouver. I was making fun of them earlier, but good for them. Yeah, there you go.
There we have it. Watch the Open Cup, people.
Watch the Open Cup. Watch the Champions Cup. I'm rooting for Columbus. I'm rooting for Miami. What if New England pulled off a great upset against Club America? These are my favorite games. I do really look forward to these tomorrow, and I'm excited. Yeah, all right.
Me too.
Have a happy Easter. Have a good week. We'll see you all next week for more American.
All right.
Happy for more American soccer talk.
All right. Goodbye.
Bucket hats available on the shop.